can I welcome you to the Planning Committee? Can I extend a Happy New Year to all of those that I forgot to actually say so that I met this morning? It's the planning agenda, and first of all, can we have a apologies for absence, please?
Yeah, apologies, Chair, from Councillor McCall, Councillor Montgomery, Councillor Parry, and Councillor Winchester.
Rest are in attendance. Order of business?
Is as printed in the agenda, Chair.
Declarations of interest. Again, usual reminder, you can declare interest at the beginning. Councillor Baird.
Thank you, Chair. Just a minor declaration of interest with the application at the end. It's just the Darcy Road one in Mayfield. I'll see it from my house. That's the only interest.
Okay, right. Thank you very much. Just remind members that they can declare interest on the item as we discuss it. Okay, that then takes us into the minutes of the previous meeting, the first one being the 14th of November 2017. Councillor Hackett.
Chair, just on item 5.8, Councillor Parry and I think Councillor Bader made comments that my vote on that matter was somehow unduly influenced by party politics, that questions needed to be asked. So I would invite any other councillor, if they have questions they wish to ask me, more than welcome to do so. But I completely object to that comment. Like I would hope all councillors here, I act as an individual, as it's a quasi-judicial committee. I called the application in because I wanted to hear other members' views, and it's not appropriate to go around asking people privately. This committee is here to express views and opinions before deciding matters.
Not being a member of Facebook, I couldn't really comment on that, but as Chairman of the Planning Committee, can I remind all members that this is quasi-judicial committee? It means that you think for yourself, and it is not in terms of party politics. There is no whip on this committee, and please, please, just let's, you know, if you have a difference of opinion, go outside, have a talk about it, and say, I didn't agree with you on one thing, why did you do that? But for goodness sake, let's not go to social media over it. I mean, let's try and rise above that. It's quite an important committee, this. It's got a lot of responsibility, and please, just let's act accordingly. And therefore, are these minutes agreed? Right, thanks. The next meeting was the special meeting of the 5th of December, again, just for approval. Are these agreed? Okay. Right, thanks very much indeed. That then takes us on to the... And apologies for using papers, but I tried this morning very hard, and if you don't keep on refreshing your page, the whole thing goes off on your iPad. So, as Chairman, I thought it was appropriate that I have papers. So I hope I get special dispensation from those in authority to do so. The first item is item in public reports is item 5.1, which is supplementary guidelines on the green networks. Peter, are you taking that?
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. This is a report seeking the committee's agreement to undertake a formal consultation on its proposed green networks supplementary guidance. At its meeting of the 7th of November 2017, the Council adopted the Midlothian Local Development Plan, which included a commitment to prepare supplementary guidance and planning guidance under a number of topic areas, including green networks. The green network is a connected area of green and blue spaces within, around and between towns and villages that provide usable open space, active travel routes for walking and cycling, habitats for wildlife and plants, and natural surface water and floodwater management opportunities. When considered together as a network, green and blue features provide important assets that contribute to place and environmental quality, opportunities for shelter, access and travel, sustainable urban drainage, pollution mitigation, wildlife habitats, and also contribute towards climate change mitigation and adaptation. So the supplementary guidance provides a framework supporting the delivery of the green network across the whole of Midlothian. delivering improvement of the green network is a collaborative task, whether it relates to additions to the network or the protection and enhancement of the existing network components. The draft guidance will be made publicly available on the Council's website for a period no less than 28 days. The Community Councils, SEPA, the Scottish Wildlife Trust, Scottish Water, the RSPB, the Forestry Commission and Scottish Natural Heritage will be notified of the draft guidance and invited to make comment. The recommendation is that the committee approve the draft Green Network Supplementary Guidance for consultation and that it considers a further report on the Green Network following the proposed consultation.
Thank you very much, Peter. And can I just apologise? I should have read out the page numbers. It's page 43 to 92 for those that are using iPads, because when you've got hundreds of pages on an iPad, it's appropriate to try and get to the right place. I think it's a terrific starting paper, out for public consultation, and I think we await the results. But open it up to members of the committee to, if there's any questions they have at this juncture. Nope. Okay, so it goes out to public consultation, and then there will be a report back with the findings to this committee before we send it off to Scottish Ministers. Okay, thank you very much indeed. That then takes us on to the major applications, which are on pages 93 to 98. Again, Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is your regular update on where we are with the major applications that are currently in the system and waiting assessment and determination. If there's any questions, as ever, I'll endeavour to help answer them.
Again, open it up to any members that have any questions regarding the major applications report. There being no questions, I'll move on to the next item on the agenda, which is just a report on the appeals and local review body decisions, which are on pages 99 to 100. Again, any questions members have, it's just there for the record. Okay, that then takes us on to item 5.4, which is the application for a mixed developed pre-application consultation, which are on pages 101 to 106 for a mixed use development in Bonning. Peter.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding a pre-application consultation for a proposed mixed use development comprising offices, stores, garage and workshops, enterprise business units, parking and ancillary facilities at land west of Burnbrae Terrace, Bonnyrigg. The purpose of this report is to afford members the opportunity to make comment on the proposals at this very early stage of the planning process, in line with the guidance reported to committee at its meeting in June 2017. The applicants have engaged in a public consultation exercise, which included holding a number of public drop-in sessions in September and October. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to the development plan and material considerations. The Midlothian Local Development Plan identifies the site as being an economic development site for Class 4 uses, and as such there is a presumption in favour of appropriate development of the site. Employment uses out with Class 4 could potentially be considered acceptable if they do not have a detrimental impact on the neighbouring residential amenity and if they are integral to the development of the site as a whole. However, it is worth noting that this consideration is based on the indicative of information available at present. A detailed assessment of any proposal will be made if a plan application is forthcoming. The applicant could submit a planning application once the consultation has expired. It is recommended that the committee notes the provisional planning position set out in this report, that any comments made by members will form part of the minute of the committee meeting, and that the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent formal planning application.
Okay, thanks very much indeed, Peter. Open it up to any members that may have anything to say on this particular pre-application consultation. Nope. Councillor Mulligan.
Russell, as you'll be aware, I was never keen on this depot moving here. However, the Council's taken the decision that that's what it'll do. I was always under the belief and was quite surprised to find out that the class usage for this site the Class 5 usage had been removed and it was a Class 4 usage only. This was something that was never identified and brought to members' attentions. It might have been in the local development plan, it might have been done through some of the areas, but when you see the sheer amount of information you get for that, I would have had expected this significant move to have been reported to members and brought to their attention. It hasn't been, and this is a Class 4 site now. I then go on to look at the areas that we talk about what Class 4 usage will be. And if you look in 3.7 on the paper, office, business unit, industrial activity, processes and associated uses which do not have a detrimental impact on residents' amenity by reason of noise, vibration, smell, fumes, smoke, soot, ash, dust or grit. How can we ever hope to put a depot in here and with a Class 4 usage that didn't have that sort of impact? So I've got to say that I have some serious concerns here. This is now a Class 4 usage site. And I would expect, prior to anything coming back in front of us, that there was a full environmental impact assessment done on what happens here. People are quite rightly raising the concerns here that this is a Class 4 site, and I'm going to say on the front of it, it looks like some of the activities that we're talking about going on here are Class 5 uses.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I suppose the starting point is any development that comes forward or any proposal that comes forward, there will be an assessment of its impacts, including all the environmental impacts, in particular those issues that have been identified in the report and raised by Councillor Milligan. Just going back in history, Councillor Milligan is right, under the 2008 local plan, the site was identified for business and general industry, which is Class 4 and Class 5. As part of the proposed local plan, which has now become the adopted local plan, there was a move to move that to Class 4 only, and that was to enable the neighbouring site, HS12, to be allocated to residential uses. Because of the site effectively becomes surrounded by residential uses, it was felt appropriate to be careful what uses go into that site. In terms of the depot coming forward for that site, a depot is quite a loose word, but it includes quite a variety of activities, some of which are straightforward Class 4 uses. The office component, for example, that's a classic Class 4 use. That's a more than acceptable use for that site. Some of the other activities, for example, a sort of garage stroke workshop where you're carrying out vehicle repairs operations, that's out with a Class 4 use. So it's just about making sure that if the council can support that component, it makes sure that that's, its impact on the neighbouring residential properties is mitigated, whether that's by the design of buildings, whether it's by screening, by the position of the buildings furthest away from the residential properties. So although the site is allocated for Class 4, other uses can take place on the site if there's appropriate mitigation measures. And once we get into any sort of detail, we would go through that rigorous assessment of all those different components. The use class order also recognises that some activities are a mix of different use classes. And this is a good example of that. Trying to separate them out, you can't, because to function effectively as a depot, you need the storage, you need the office, you need the repair workshops. And the planning system recognises that. So if the use is predominantly Class 4, i.e. the office component is the main use, then there's a recognition that it's reasonable to accept some of the other uses that go with that. So I think the bottom line of all that, Chair, is simply we just need to assess in detail when the proposal comes forward.
Have we made it harder for ourselves in actually changing from a 4-5 to a 4?
Chair, I think the fundamental issue here is that are uses compatible? If we now have a site which is surrounded on three sides with residential, either existing or now allocated in the plan, it's really a matter for the committee to consider the application as and when it comes forward with the environmental information and to come to a conclusion. Clearly, one of the first ports of call in the assessment will be to look at the use class allocation for the site, which in this case is Class 4. But as you've heard from Peter, there's a number of issues related to Class 4. It's not necessarily black and white. But at the end of the day, the fundamental issue you'd be coming down to with all the information that's been put in front of you, do you consider that the proposals that are there are compatible with residential surrounding uses?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that I'm comforted by the explanation given, although I've heard it before. I mean, effectively, when the Hopefield site was laid out, it was laid out in a way that there was complaints that there was very little economic development land being granted in the area, and as this was the only site for this huge big development, and there was quite a debate at the time in Midlothian that we seemed to be getting all the houses in Edinburgh, seemed to be getting all the economic development land. In other words, all the jobs were going to Edinburgh and all the houses were coming to Midlothian. And what we seem to have done here is say, well, wait a minute, we're going to allow Taylor Wimpey to build another big pile of houses, so we'll actually restrict the land for jobs to allow them to do that. It just seems absolutely baffling. At the same time, this council was actually sitting debating whether to move its new depot onto that site. Now, it just defies belief. I would have thought quite simply, if Taylor Wimpey wanted to develop the site next to them, it should have been their job to mitigate whether they had bonded the site between their new housing site, which is in the local development plan, and this existing site that's been in this plan since way back since, I think, 1999. So all of a sudden, this new housing development comes along and a site, Hobotoa, it's in council ownership, has to change its class use. If this had been anybody else who'd have had this council, of course we're doing that. It's actually unbelievable that we're sitting here in this position, but we are in that position. So before we grant any consents on this, I will expect to see a full environmental impact assessment and what other areas that we're going to do to mitigate this to make sure this doesn't affect the residents in this area.
Thanks for that, Councillor McGinn, and I think Peter's got the gist of what you're saying and was writing vigorously along with Ian. Okay, is there anybody else? Councillor Johnson.
Hi, does this exclude the salt barns and emergency services being moved there in the future?
Chair, at the moment we don't have a plan application, so I don't have that detail. The information I'm currently advised is that it won't include that, but that's just an advised stage at the moment. But I don't know what will come forward as part of the detail. My understanding is that comments are being considered on the back of that public consultation, so I'm sure the council as applicant will take on board those points of view.
Anyone else? Okay, that then takes us on to the next one, which again is a pre-application consultation for the residential development up at Gore Bridge, which is on page 107 to 110.
Thank you, Chair. This is a report regarding a pre-application consultation for a proposed residential development at land at Gore Avenue and New Byres Crescent Gore Bridge. The purpose of this report, again, is to afford the members the opportunity to make comment on the proposals at this very early stage of the process, in line with the approved guidance. The applicants are currently engaging in a public consultation exercise, which did include holding public drop-in sessions on the 6th of December and the 9th of December. The report outlines a provisional planning consideration with regard to the development plan and material considerations. The Midlothian Local Development Plan identifies the site as being within the built-up area of Gore Bridge, and as such there is a presumption in favour of appropriate development of the site. The site had previously been developed for housing and is within a housing area. Housing would therefore be the most appropriate use of the site. However, it is worth noting that this consideration is based on the indicative information available at present. A detailed assessment of the proposal will be made if plan application is forthcoming. The applicant could submit a planning application once the consultation has expired. Again, it is recommended the committee notes the provisional planning permission as set out in the report, and that any comments made by members will form part of the minute of the committee, and that the expression of a provisional view does not fetter the committee in its consideration of any subsequent formal plan application.
Thanks again, Peter. Open it up again to members of the committee for any questions, comments. Councillor Muirhead.
Yeah, obviously there's the site, there's going to have to be a lot of reactions on the basis of lessons learned from the issues that we have suffered from in terms of the gas. But I think there are maybe one or two other issues that we can maybe learn from here. And I presume that it's appropriate to put these forward at this stage. I don't think it will do any harm. But if you look at the existing four properties that are on the old New Byers Crescent, they are the border on to the, I suppose that would be northeast kind of boundary there of the site. Buildings. Sorry, there are eight properties. There are four buildings. Along the boundary of that, there's actually quite a drop in levels onto the New Byers site. It is the significant sharp drop is probably between 8 and 10 feet away from the boundary of these properties. And the solution that we had in the last build was to fence along the edge of that significant drop. And what that did was to create an almost like a no-man's land in between the back gardens of the existing properties and that drop, which resulted in youngsters hanging around in there, causing problems to the neighbours, throwing things over into the gardens and against the properties, the new properties in New Byers. Would it be possible for us to suggest that something's done to mitigate that, perhaps by extending the existing the gardens of the existing properties to the edge of the drop and putting one fence up? Would seem to me to be a kind of solution for that. On the further down the site, again, there are slopes on that bottom right corner of the main site. We had significant flooding issues there when the houses were built the last time, so maybe additional measures need to be taken to make sure that that doesn't occur. There are really steep slopes at the back of that, and there is waste ground between Bonnybank Gardens and the New Byers that run, the water runs down into there, so there's an issue with that that maybe needs to be addressed. And finally, the part at the top, the sort of middle right of the site that sticks out, there are two properties were built there. We should consider doing something in terms of the levels of the back gardens in these properties, because it was virtually impossible for the tenants of these two properties to maintain the gardens at the back. I mean, I recall speaking to one of your officers about it and asking them the question, would you allow our guys to go up there and cut the grass at that kind of, that kind of slope? So perhaps something could be done to address that in terms of stepping up the gardens at the back or something like that.
Okay, you got that on board?
No, that's Chair. They're all valid planning considerations. Taking that on board.
Councillor Johnson.
Thank you. Do we know at this stage if the layout is going to be exactly the same, and to accommodate the services that are already there?
Chair, my understanding is that some of the layout will stay the same and use some of the services, but it will, the actual number of units is going to change. My understanding is that there's a slight increase in the number of units. I think previously there were 64 units on the site. I think the applicants are looking to increase that slightly, so it won't be exactly the same.
Can I just say that I went and had a look at they have got indicative layouts, and that they're virtually the same layouts. The one sort of major change is that the intention is to close the road going through. So to close the, it was a through road, if you like, through into Bonnybank, Lower Bonnybank Road, but they're going to close it off at that corner, that the bend.
Councillor Smale.
It's been the policy of the council for some time to rebuild here, and I support that. It obviously is a residential area. My concern is about the knock-on effect of the history of this site. Clearly, we'll be putting membranes into the houses, so some of the geological risk will be abated. But as Councillor Muirhead points out, there may be other geological risks here. He's talked about flooding, but where you've had coal mining, there could be all sorts of substance issues. Are we able to get any professionals to sign off on a site survey here so that we are taking no exceptional risks in building in this site?
I mean, the arrangements are in terms of new development of this nature, and new development areas where there's concern is that there will be the reports of the coal authority, and the applicants would normally, certainly at building standards, but often at planning stage, commission work by professional consultants on the ground conditions. And those consultants should refer to coal authority reports. The coal authority themselves can make a determination and take a view in relation to a particular site on the basis of their records. That information, when submitted to the council, is then peer-reviewed by our own consultants who are professional in terms of their understanding and experience in looking at ground condition surveys. So that would be the basis upon which to arrive at a position whereby we were confident about, as we can be, about what the issues are, and on the basis of that ensure that whatever mitigation measures need to be put forward through the Building Standards Act or whatever can be achieved. It's not 100% obviously, but certainly in areas which are of higher risk, such as Gore Bridge, then that's the normal procedures that we would follow.
So we finish with this one at the moment until it comes back. Right, thanks very much. That then takes us on to 5.6, which is application up at Mayfield on pages 111 to 132.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the erection of 179 dwelling houses, 20 flatted dwellings and associated works on lands north of Oak Place, Mayfield. The proposed development includes detached, semi-detached and terraced houses and flats. All the residential units are two storeys and there is a mix of two, three and four bedroom properties. It is proposed that up to 40 of the units would be affordable dwellings. The proposed development also includes the provision of some open space, a sustainable urban drainage system, roads and footpaths. A new vehicular access is proposed off Oak Place. The site is an allocated housing site within the settlement boundary of Mayfield, where there is a presumption in favour of appropriate housing development. However, the proposed development of the site for 199 dwellings, when the site is allocated for 63 residential units, is an overdevelopment of the site, which is detrimental to the character and amenity of the area and the future occupants of the development. The overdevelopment of the site is demonstrated by the large proportion of the proposed dwellings having unduly small-sized rear gardens, there being inadequate community open space and children's play areas, inadequate spacing between proposed and existing dwellings, excessively raising the site levels and engineering works, including the use of retaining structures to facilitate the development, and the fact that buildings are not optimally orientated relative to the site's contours. A further consequence of the significant increase in unit numbers compared to the 63 stated in the development plan is that there is not an education solution to accommodate all the school children that would arise from the proposed residential development of the site, in particular non-denominational primary school children. In addition, the applicant is proposing up to 40 affordable housing units. This falls short of the 25% requirement, which should equate to 50 units. No reasonable justification has been submitted to support the proposed proposal, which is below the policy standard. There have been 8 representations received objecting to the application and consultation responses from SEPA, the Mayfield and East Houses Community Council, the Council's Archaeological Advisor, the Council's Construction Services Housing Manager, the Council's Policy and Road Safety Manager, and the Council's Head of Education. The details of the consultations and representations are set out in sections 5 and 6 of the report. The recommendation is to refuse planning permission for the reasons set out in section 9 of the report.
Thank you very much indeed, Peter. Open up to members of the committee. Anybody got anything to say? Are we quite happy to go along with the recommendation? Quite happy with the recommendation? Okay, which is to refuse. So, Councillor Baird, you can still look out your window and you'll be fine at the moment. That takes us on to item 5.7, which is on pages 133 to 138, which is the installation of a suds point at Easterbush Farm.
Thank you, Chair. This is an application for the formation and installation of a sustainable urban drainage system at Easterbush Campus, Bush Farm Road, Roslyn. The existing suds facilities at Easterbush have been formed on a development by development basis with individual schemes for each development. Most of the existing suds schemes drain into the existing suds pond, which was formed to support the Roslyn Institute building. It is now proposed to establish a campus-wide suds scheme that will accommodate the existing buildings and future development plans. The existing campus is a long-established bioscience research and development use where there is a presumption in favour of appropriate development, including infrastructure and enabling works as proposed in the application. There have been no representations received and consultation responses from CEPA and the Council's Policy and Road Safety Manager. The details of these consultations are set out in Section 5 of the report. The recommendation is to grant planning permission.
Again, thanks, Peter. Open up to members of the committee. Quite happy to go along with this one. Okay. Right. Well, thank you very much indeed for your attendance. Thanks, Russell.